Welcome to the Bengals Beat Podcast, presented by JosephAuto.com and Inquirer Sports. Here, every Tuesday, your Cincinnati.com Bengals beat writers take you inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Hear from players, coaches, and anyone else relevant to the team throughout the week. Remember, you can subscribe on iTunes and Google Play or listen on our must-have Bengals app. Let's go.
All right, welcome to the latest edition of the BBP. Paul Diener Jr. and Jim Osarski, your Bengals beat writers, are back with you following. Do we have to use free agency frenzy? I feel like everyone just is such a sucker for the alliteration on trying to describe the free agent period. I don't have to do that. I don't have to use an F word if I don't want to.
No, I don't know if it was a frenzy. Well, it wasn't a frenzy in Cincinnati. Maybe it was in New York.
Yeah.
The Giants.
Oh,
Maybe in Cleveland, frenzy of people wanting to get the heck out.
Seriously. Cleveland fans who were hopeful that this new administration would put them into a better place. But you know what? I'm not going here yet. I'm not. All Cleveland's doing, by the way, is trying to follow the Bengals model, which is not overpaying on free agents and collecting draft picks.
Yep.
And so that's – but you did not come here to hear about that. No. We have – this is kind of a bonus BBP. You know, we've been down here, we've been in the stadium, you've been all over every single move that we've had so far, so we need it. There's so much that happened in the last 48 hours. We needed to hop on the podcast immediately and come to you guys and give you all the inside information on everything that's going down, where the Bengals are going at, because they pretty much wrapped it up.
Yeah.
Within about a 48-hour period, it's like, okay, put a bow on it, move it forward.
Yeah, all the months... I mean, even in season after they didn't re-sign, extend some guys, I guess, at the time, and, you know, early part of free, all the consternation and wonder and projection, I have to say we were pretty right on with, you know, the top three guys that they were going to go after, and they landed two of the three, and then Vinny Ray who was probably, you know, was fourth, fifth on the list with Mohamed Sanu. You know, so three of the five, I guess, and you weren't going to bring them all back. So I know inside Paul Brown Stadium, they're very happy with the guys that they did re-sign.
Yeah, and so just to quickly run down, you ran down most of it. Marvin Jones goes to Detroit. Mohamed Sanu goes to Atlanta, both on huge deals.
Yes.
Marvin Jones gets 5 years, 40, with about half that guaranteed. Mohamed Sanu ended up getting 6.5 a year on a 5-year deal. So not messing around there. Good for them. The offensive side, that was really the only area where the Bengals didn't hit.
Yeah.
Because they doubled down the defense. They re-signed George Iloka to about 6 per. Adam Jones at 3 years, 20 plus million. Yeah. And Vinny Ray at 3 years and $11.5 million. A lot bigger deal than I think we anticipated him to get. But it clearly showed that they knew what they wanted and they were going to go get it and spend to get it. And what they did is solidify their defense. So that's where it's at. I want to start with what has been probably the most common question that we've gotten and really the biggest – what will be now the biggest question that needs to get answered between now and the last weekend in April, and that's what's going to happen at receiver.
Right.
A.J. Green is there, so you're good. They have Tyler Eifert at tight end.
They got Brandon Tate back. That was the first re-signing.
Oh, boy. Can I just – the Tate hate, the irrational Tate hate. I mean, people just – could not. Everyone was on pins and needles, right? Just waiting to see all the signings. And the fact that Brandon Tate was the first one just rubbed people so far the wrong way. I mean, it was a like, you know, loss to the Texans on Monday night style outrage on my Twitter feed of people just so mad. And I don't know how to say this how many different ways. I don't care who it is. If they're on your team on a one-year deal, basically at the league minimum, it doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't mean Brandon Tate's making this team. It doesn't really guarantee anything except he'll be there at camp. So to say that to say that that's the issue or that's what makes you mad, I get it. You don't like him. But he's on a one-year deal on the league minimum. It's really so little a part of any equation with this team.
Right.
It doesn't really matter.
But he's there.
Unless he's starting opposite AJ Green opening day. Then rightfully blow up the Twitter feed.
Right.
It's what should happen. So they have Brandon Tate. They have Mario Alford.
Yes.
Who basically got a redshirt year last year. They have James Wright, who is coming off microfracture. They hope will be back for camp.
Right.
But, you know, microfracture, you give the old lovable shrug. Who knows?
Yeah.
They have Jake Kumerow, who was camp practice squad superstar.
Yeah.
People, they kind of love the D3 kid from Wisconsin, Whitewater.
Yeah.
Your boy.
Yeah.
And that's all they got right now.
Yes.
So the question is, where do they go from there? And they go to the draft.
Yeah. You would think so, which is, you know, you made this point on one of our many Cincinnati.com videos that the last time they had to do this, they drafted Mohamed Sanu and Marvin Jones.
In the third and the fifth
now,
round.
Now, granted, it's, yeah. So now, you know, in this particular scenario, you would think whatever rookie receiver they draft would have to have an immediate impact, which is not what they want. So one would think in the coming weeks there's some veteran
who falls,
but not a Greg Little veteran.
No.
Not a Greg, because I think Greg Little was strictly a camp body and just a dude who was there. I think in this instance, even if it's a minimum deal, because the middle class, if you look at this free agency market, right, you got like guys getting a ton of money. And then guys getting little money. I mean, Vinny Ray is really one of the only guys that you could say,
mid-level.
You know what? Yeah, kind of mid-level. They're going to find a receiver who's 4, 5 years, 6 years in the league, can run a route, can catch the ball, you know, that.
Who wants a one-year cheap prove-it
deal.
Yeah,
prove-it deal. You know what? So I think, you know, and I'm sure people are going to freak out, you know, after hearing this in the sense of, well, free agency is over. So who are we going to get? Who's going to play AJ Green, right? You know, so, but I think that'll happen down the line. Impossible to predict who it'll be. Because everyone else, you're right, Paul, is a question mark.
Mm-hmm.
James Wright's a question mark. To me, James Wright would be a question mark anyway. I didn't see him play 2 years ago, but whatever.
He
looking
played
nice
minimally.
On, yeah, you know, Mario Alford couldn't get on the field. So you can't – I mean, Ken Zampezi told us in Indianapolis at the Combine, we need to see him play at full speed, catch the ball, which
kind of
important.
And know where he's going.
important.
Right. Well, and Rex Burkhead can play in the slot for you. So, I mean, you have that. It's not ideal, but he can do a lot of that for you. Let's be honest. They have three picks. I'm not going to keep belaboring this point. They should have drafted a guy last year, and they didn't. Okay, they had four picks in the first 2 days, and they spent none of them on a receiver and a deep receiver class. I don't know what else to tell you except they should have. Okay, we move on from that. Because how much easier would this landing space be right now if they had that guy in the works? But whatever. So we move forward. This is not a great class for receivers. That doesn't mean there's none out there.
Right.
So the one thing that can happen here is you have everybody who is drooling over all these defensive tackles and these corners and all this, how deep this defensive class is. Maybe then you do get maybe one of the two or three top receivers in this draft do slide down to 24, and there you are.
Right.
And you can, whoever that is. Is it Josh Dotson? Is it Laquon Treadwell somehow?
Right.
Whatever. And if you get a guy at 24 that they like who can play receiver, they've plugged in rookies before when they've needed to. Russell Bodine came in, and he was a fourth-round pick and started
from
day
one. It's not
ideal,
but they, in their minds,
Marvin
Jones
and Mohamed Sanu just played a role early on. I mean, they weren't as prevalent as whoever these two new guys need to be. And it's not like we haven't seen rookie receivers come in and light the league up.
Yeah.
I mean, look across the league the last couple of years. You've had plenty of guys who have invigorated offenses that have been rookie receivers.
Right.
The Bengals need to pick the right one.
Right.
But it's not some sort of lost cause. What I find interesting about this is, and you can speak more to this as well, is how aggressively, I don't think people realize this, how aggressive the Bengals were in going after Marvin Jones, though. I think it showed how much he really was their top priority.
Yeah, we'll have the story up. If you haven't seen it already, go to Cincinnati.com. It's I think people will be surprised, and you know, maybe since Jones isn't back, that they'll maybe half look at it and not believe it. But it's true. I mean, even Marvin Jones said right after he leaves, right, he went on, he made the rounds. It's not about the money. He told us it's about opportunity, and what opportunity means is I'm replacing Calvin Johnson, mm-hmm. so I'm going to get 130 targets from Matthew Stafford. And everyone kind of rolled their eyes initially, right? Well, did some poking around, and the Bengals offered $8 million annually on Monday. He did not take it, which sort of sent rumblings through the league, people familiar with the Bengals, like, holy cow, A, they offered it, B, he didn't take it. He gets to 40. The Bengals match the 40. Now, I don't know the structure of that 40. And the Lions were creative. You know, he's getting most of that in the first 3 years.
27 in the first three.
Right, so it's more like $9 million annually instead of $8 average per value. But the Bengals hit 40 from very reliable sources that would know. And he told them, thank you, but it's about getting targets and catching passes and obviously replacing Calvin Johnson in Detroit.
From Marvin Jones's perspective, let's sit in his shoes for a second. You have on the table 5-40 from Detroit, 5-40 from Cincinnati. You obviously love Cincinnati. You have friends here. You've done a lot of great things. You know what you'll always be in Cincinnati? The other guy.
Yes.
You'll always be the guy next to the guy.
Right.
And next to the other guy, too.
And he was surpassed in terms of, you know, Marvin's a great personality and wonderful to be around, but in town, this is my first year, but he was surpassed by Tyler Eifert in terms of just, like, the love.
Absolutely. You know? The town is in love with Tyler Eifert. We saw that when we did the last Beyond the Stripes, right. And the line was out the door around the bar of Moreland Lagerhouse. Marvin, people love Marvin Jones, but it's not the same.
Right.
So if you know I can make this money here and this money here, I'm going to make the same amount of money pretty much.
Right.
Either place I go, there's some risk in going somewhere new, but Golden Tate is the other guy there.
Right.
He can be the man.
Right.
He could be a one, and I'm sure he believes that he's the one there. At the very least, he can play like one. And from an offense that loves to wing it and has a quality quarterback.
Right.
I mean, say what you want about Matt Stafford and how many games he wins. The guy can wing it, and they throw it. That if you're into opportunity, that was the better opportunity. So for the first time, the Bengals roster and the quality of their roster kind of came back to bite them, even though they were as aggressive financially as you could be.
Right.
I mean, I could not – the idea of throwing $10 million a year at Marvin Jones, I think, is where they had to draw the line.
Right. But to go to 40.
To go to 40 says a lot.
Right.
I mean, they would have, at that point, and you're talking they would have been given A.J. and Marvin Jones 23 just for the two of them.
Right.
That would lead the league and be three more than any other duo.
That's more than Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb.
By a long shot.
The only two guys currently under contract, because Andre Johnson was released. I guess Decker and Brandon Marshall, the only two in New York. But that's not even close to what.
No. I mean, this was big. I mean, Washington had two guys that were making at least eight.
Yeah.
Wing Garcon and Jackson, but that, you know, they both were making just at eight.
Right.
To give a guy 15 and then go give another guy eight and maybe some, probably more if you needed to get. That is, I think it goes to show you where they wanted to be. And to me, you can't blame either side in this one. And I kind of wrote this afterwards was you can't blame the Bengals for not selling out and trying their best, but for also having some restraint and not going over the, $10 million, like an auction in the auction. And you can't blame Marvin Jones for wanting to go be a guy.
Right.
I mean, he's always, for his whole career, he would be second fiddle to AJ Green and Tyler Eifert.
Yeah.
And he knows that.
Yeah.
And so to go to Detroit, good for you.
Yeah.
And the same applies for Mohamed Sanu, right?
Yeah. You know, a little different in the sense that, Julio Jones is the guy, so Mo is a clear two.
But I don't think he cared about being the.
No, he just Mo made it very clear, you know, in the brief comments he made, you know, to us leaving the locker room, I did the best I can with what I was given. And Mo is a consummate professional. You and I talked about this, you know, as this was going on. Like, you know, it was Muhammad that irritated, because he was the one of all of the free agents. Even though Marvin did the Super Bowl tour and said no hometown discount, he never said I'm leaving. He never knocked any. Mo publicly said, I'm looking for more. I'm looking for more opportunity. I'm ready. I mean, he was the one who kind of rattled the cages a little bit about getting out of Cincinnati, because you and I both we were on his BBP, right? Hey, if Marvin's going to walk, they can just go right to Mo and say, here's some money.
Yeah.
And clearly that made it clear he was ready to move.
And I think the Bengals at that point said, we're washing our hands.
Exactly. And
you know, you don't say things like that and get a whole lot of response
right
from inside the Bengals offices. But I still thought, though, that if it played out, I thought the Bengals would make a play for Sanu, and it just didn't happen. And partially because he's making $6.5 per.
Well, there's that too. I don't know.
He's not that guy,
right? I think the Bengals, when you were to look at it, if you were to sit down with Marvin Lewis and Ken Zampezi in their front office, right, and say, okay, Marvin Jones at $8 million, he still could catch 10 touchdowns for us. You know, if you're sitting around the little table in Paul Brown and say, if things go differently or you know, whatever, Andy's completes a couple of those passes that he overthrew Marvin on, you know, during the year, he catches 9 touchdowns, it might be worth it. 6.5 to 7 to Mo, I mean, it's only $1 million difference, but there's a bigger difference in impact,
yes,
right?
Yes.
In terms of the over-the-top safety coverage and needing to have, you know, maybe a corner travel. If AJ gets hurt, Richard Sherman's on Marvin Jones, whereas maybe he's, you know, covering Tyler Eifert. You know what I mean? So, it just seemed like that pairing, as little did we know at the time, was ready. Hey, we're both ready to move on.
Yeah, and so they do. We went over some of the options for the Bengals. We have between now and the end of April. We'll, of course, go very deep into the draft, and we'll talk a lot about all those guys at the top of the draft in the receiver class, so keep an eye out for that going forward. But we got plenty else to talk about what the Bengals did do
right in
free agency, which is where I think they are now hanging their hat on going forward. They're hanging their hat on two things. This defense that just set a franchise record for fewest points allowed, and number 14 and 18.
Yeah.
I mean, they basically, we got these three guys on offense. We got 14, 18, and 85, and we got them.
Right.
And as long as we got them and we go put a defense out there, we can be what the Broncos were.
Right.
I think is their goal. I mean, if you're talking what they brought back, so they re-signed George. And I think how this worked, when Marvin picked Detroit, the Bengals said, okay, let's go to George. George is our number two. I think the priority was very clear, their pecking order. Marvin Jones was a distant one.
Yeah.
And so when he turned it down, they go to George and say, okay, we'll pop up our offer and give you what you want.
Right.
And obviously George loved to be here and be on a contender in a place he's comfortable and make what he wants to make, and George is happy.
Yeah.
Give George his money, he'd be a happy man. I mean, he played – and admittedly so to us, played last year with that weighing on him.
Right.
And I think it affected him. I think it affected his play. I think it affected his decision-making and how to deal with injuries.
Yeah.
But he's back, and I think him with a free, clear head is a valuable guy for the next 5 years. A young safety. We talked a lot about it. It's right in the Bengals' mold. Draft, develop, retain, young, in their prime.
Right.
In a great deal. Look at some of their deals, some of these safeties are getting.
Yeah, the fact that Bengals got him done on Tuesday, even after the legal tampering, turned out to be, I think, pretty important, because you saw some really crazy money start coming out on late Tuesday and Wednesday. But, you know, they did come up. I can tell you, you know, George said to us, and I know we'll hear from him in a little bit, but, you know, this process for him started in the summer. He didn't get the extension, as you mentioned. AJ Green, they had to handle that. But what I can tell you is that what the Bengals were offering him then is substantially less than what he was paid now.
Yes.
So was it Marvin Jones? We also know that, you know, and I can say this now, Mike Zimmer played a role in this and that they were very interested in bringing him to Minnesota. So unlike the summer, there was some competition now, and the Bengals, you know, upped the offer, and George Ilokas said, you know, hey, if it's close, I'm picking the Bengals.
Yeah.
And would the money have been the same elsewhere? It had to have been same or close or whatever. So, but yeah, they clearly wanted to make sure he got done.
Yeah, and so he gets done. And to me, the one that changes this from you feel like this was a successful free agent period was Adam Jones, because he was on the second wave, he was sort of going to be a hot commodity. I mean, people are interested in what he can bring, even at age 32, 33 yes. September. And so the question was, were the Bengals going to be able to put out enough money to pay him, to keep him? And when they dropped 3 years and $20 million on a 32-year-old corner, I don't care what your resume is, that is a commitment and pretty serious to a guy. And
yes.
Have whatever thoughts you want to have about Adam Jones, whether you're in the camp that says, get him out of here, I'm done with him after what happened at the end of the season, or maybe you hated the Amari Cooper thing, or his past, whatever it is. The Bengals picked their guy, a guy they love the competitiveness he brings. They love the way he played last year,
right,
and what he does in the locker room. And they wanted to embrace that, and they backed it up with a lot of money for a guy that age. I mean, right. I can't imagine he was getting offers more than that.
Yeah, he signed. Re-signed, I guess, pretty late in the game on Wednesday. I mean, you hit 4 o'clock, you're wide open, you can go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he made the national media rounds early in the week once the legal tampering opened up and, you know, kind of made it known the money.
Spent the whole day in Bristol.
Yeah,
the
money wasn't right. And, you know, Adam was restrained, but he let everybody know.
I mean,
to the point where people are like, he's speaking of the Bengals in past tense. He's a smart dude.
Yeah.
You know, and, well, say what you want about, you know, and other people heard that and were like, I'm sure drove off the road in a way, but he is a smart guy in that sense. And $20 million here, and I have to mention this, Paul, because one of the first corners to go off the market, Janoris Jenkins from the Rams.
Oh.
$62.5 million
oh.
for the Giants, right? So Janoris Jenkins, when asked, say, hey, how do you got to get better, says, I can, quote, $62.5 million corner. I can improve on stop being lazy at the end of games.
Oh.
And the reason I bring that up in this conversation is because Adam Jones is not lazy.
No.
So, again, to circle it back about making it sort of a win for the Bengals, knowing what you have, knowing who – Adam Jones is not going to be lazy because he got $20 million for 3 years or 21 or whatever it's going to – you know, the final details are. And in that space, wouldn't – as I can tell you, Paul Gunther and Marvin Lewis and are like, we'll take $20 million of Adam Jones and what he can do, and we hope he really truly learned from that incident at the wild card game versus $62.5 for a guy who just says, I've been lazy.
I've been a little lazy.
I got to work on that.
Don't worry. Now that I got my money, though, I'm going to be really working hard for you. You know, don't worry about that. How much is guaranteed? You know, there's one thing you don't have to doubt is that the competitive nature of Adam Jones will not allow him
right.
to ever slow down. I mean, the guy just cares too much about winning games, and to the point that it hurts his team sometimes, but he is as emotionally invested. A story that I love to tell was after the Bengals lost to Indianapolis in the playoffs at the end of the 2014 season, and guys were sort of resigned before that game. Yeah, they're probably going to lose. They didn't have A.J. Green. They didn't have anybody. They were completely outmatched with everybody hurt. They lost. One guy was livid after that game, and stormed out of the locker room and didn't take the bus. Got drove home.
Yeah.
Because he didn't feel like people cared as much as he did. Right? That was Adam Jones.
Yeah.
And that's him. He doesn't care what the odds are or how far they're – that's him. That's who he's going to be. And that is why they overlooked the number 32 and paid him. I think. And I think that is a difference on this. How different does this defensive roster look if you now have that ripple effect? If you're looking at, okay, well, Darqueze Dennard's going to have to start alongside of Dre. Can either of them be a one? You hope so, but you don't know.
Right.
Dre, you need to see take a step. Then Josh Shaw's your three. Right. You're probably at that point looking and drafting.
Right.
I mean, that ripple effect is steep.
Right.
But now you're right back where you were.
Right.
You have Sean Williams is ready to start. We'll get into that in a second. You have Adam Jones. You have Dre, and Darqueze is your third guy, and Josh Shaw, who played pretty well and is now entering his second year, coming up as your fourth corner. And everybody loves Chris Lewis Harris at the five, right?
Right.
I mean, but you know, I'm just saying that ripple effect was huge, and I think that signing, paying what they had to pay to Adam Jones, makes this a successful period. And the cherry on top is Vinny Ray,
right?
Who? Tell me, you thought it was going to be anything in the range of 3 years and 11 and a half. That's
no.
a huge number for Vinny Ray. I did not see that coming.
Yeah, I didn't see it coming either. When talking about it, it seemed like he got a little emotional about that and what it meant in on a lot of ways, not just for his family personally, but even just the team's belief in him and, you know, his, you know, he's not, this isn't a starter. You know, I mean, he'll start, you know, with Vontaze Burfict being suspended. But I think it had more to do with locker room, core special teamer. And it's funny because you say $12 million, $11.5 over three. Wow, that's a lot of money. But actually, when you look at the cap, it's probably about right for a guy who can do what he does, average 100 tackles last 2 years.
He's the best at what he does.
Right.
Now, that role may be a maybe smaller in the big picture of winning games, but he's the best at what he does,
right,
at being a role player linebacker, a special teams dynamo, and being the example. And I wrote about him when he was playing for Burfict back in October. He is the example to everyone that enters that locker room of how to be a pro and what this team views as the ideal way you should be. And that means something to these guys. They've built their foundation on that, and they rewarded that. They rewarded that with a bigger contract than I think people expected for Vinny Ray. You mentioned a couple of these guys. I do want to bring in some sound because we spoke with George and Vinny this week. And let's start with Vinny and what you just mentioned. What was him talking and answering your question about being an undrafted guy and sort of what all that has meant to him after he signed undrafted out of Duke, was wondering if he was going to be back here, and now he was literally holding the paper in his hand.
Right. Official tissue
of 3 years and $11.5 million. Here's Vinny Ray.
This past year, through a lot of the season, we were the number one scoring defense in the NFL. So many star players on the defense, and I'm honored to just be out there with those guys. Every time I get a chance to run out there, you know, with Geno Atkins, Carlos Dunlap, you know, Vontaze, Ray, it's an honor to be out there with guys of that caliber and to be with them, you know, and make plays with those guys. So I'm glad that I'll have another opportunity to do so. And we do have some unfinished business to take care of, and but we can't take care of that now or next month, you know. So for now, and when we all get back here April 18th, the only thing we can do is, you know, lift, run, listen to our coaches, just kind of win the day, just whatever it takes that day to get better. Because we know that every day we either get better or we get worse, you know. So just excited to be back, you know. I'm just all smiles right now.
I don't know how much you thought about maybe having to go other places, but how was that a hard thing to think about, the concept of playing somewhere else, because you've been so familiar and built such a kind of a foundation here?
That was tough. It was real tough thinking of that, you know, because I know, like, you know, I have a family now to support, you know, and I understand it's a business, but this has been only place I've been in the NFL. I've been here six seasons, a full six seasons, and, you know, I've been here more than I was more than I was at Duke. You know, I was at Duke for 4 years, and that's like a home to me. So this is home, you know. So I really didn't want to have to make that decision, and thankfully I don't.
Touched on it briefly, the undrafted free agent part, and it's one thing obviously to then make a roster, make a team. There's steps along the way, right? Not just the paycheck, but the representation of that. Like a multi-year commitment of a dollar amount like that, to think of where you came from. How is that, I don't want to call it validation, but is it in a way? Like what does that kind of feel like to know that you've worked yourself to this point in this league after everyone passed on you initially?
It does give me some validation, you know, some tangible validation. And even more so, you know, money's very important, but even more than that is the fact that I believe that I'm an important piece to this team. That means the world to me to know that I'm important here, and that's the validation right there.
You've always kind of known that you were viewed as an important piece, but I guess when did you kind of realize? Was it last night? As you're reflecting on it today, when did you realize that this makes sense? They really do want you.
Yeah, it was the past couple days. You know, I just didn't. I didn't know how it would happen. You know, everybody's kind of waiting till Monday at noon, you know, and then the time comes and it's like, okay, I had a feeling like I was like, yeah, I know I'm pretty important here. I know I've made plays in this league, but to know that other, like, people are interested in having you and believe that you're an important piece, and for them to tell you that, maybe I'm just a words of affirmation guy, but it, like, it built me up, you know. I'm like, that's great. And, you know, for here, for the Bengals organization, and thanks. I'm really, really thankful for for them bringing me here from day one. And even until now, you know, I'm thankful.
So the number was an affirmation, huh?
Huh? The number?
Yeah, the number was an affirmation.
That was some too. That was. I'll be honest, but you know, but that spoke words in itself. Yeah, you know, yeah. That spoke words.
But I guess it's.
All right. So we have we've gone through the basics of what happened, and now there's just a fun question that we have to dive into because everybody wants to know. It's a hot topic. So Brock Osweiler ditches Denver. Peace. Deuces.
Yeah.
I'm out.
In one of the greatest, like, face turns of all time.
Oh.
Heel turns. Heel turn.
Heel turn. Complete. Brock, we love you, Brock. You're going to take over Peyton Manning. Yay, Brock. And he says, you know what? Peace.
Right.
I'm off to Houston. And I'm taking $72 million over 4 years. Marinate on that for a minute. Just Andy Dalton is not making that kind of money per year. 4 years.
Yeah, Andy.
$72 million, seven starts. And he got benched in week 17.
Right.
For a guy having the worst year of his career, who had half an arm and half a foot. He got benched because they were going to lose to San Diego. Had to get yanked. 4 years, $72 million. Is he Scott Mitchell? He's Scott Mitchell, right? I mean,
I don't know. Yeah, you can't. I don't know if you can have a comp. He's 6'7".
My so favorite. Tall. My favorite tweet of the week, I think, was, man, Ryan Mallett's going to be so mad about this when he wakes up today.
And it
was
talk about a dude.
It was tweeted at like 4 p.m.
And that's a whole other topic. But you want to talk about a dude who, like, literally slept his way through tens of millions of dollars. Like,
oh. If he would have done something near what Osweiler did with his role when he had a shot, they'd be paying him that money.
Oh.
Unbelievable. So now Denver needs a quarterback. Okay, and so where are they going to get a quarterback? John Elway issues a statement telling Brock Deuces, we're very openly saying we want somebody who actually wants to be here.
Right.
And then saying we'll look into any avenue, draft, trade, free agent, whatever. So now that you start talking trade, people start throwing names around. Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
Ryan Fitzpatrick's out there. They're not talking to him.
RG3's out there.
RG3. Do you want RG3? Who? Of course, Peter King gave it national steam, but we had been talking about it before he tweeted it out. If I'm Denver, I'm calling Cincinnati, and I'm offering a 2 and a 4 for A.J. McCarron.
And if I'm Mike Brown, I say deuces.
Deuces. No. So let's – everyone wants to know.
Yeah.
Is this going to happen? What will it take? Go ahead. Let's just get the ball.
Yeah, all right. So let's – all this is crazy speculation. I'll tell you – and this is what we do at the BVP, Paul. We bring people inside.
Come on in.
We've talked about this since the end of last year. So I did – poke around a little bit, and basically, if the only way the Bengals would even let more than like 6 words get out from the other end of the line is there's got to be a one. There's got to be a one
at least one
before they even entertain the. And I'll tell you that for a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was what was said before this craziness happened.
Right. This was just when we were just BSing about
right.
it, trying to get a gauge.
Right. So, you know, look, it's everyone's job to listen. And we're not, you know, breaking any news here in the sense that, like, look, if someone wanted to call and ask about A.J. Green, you know, I'm throwing my hands up. You can't see it, people. But they'll listen because you always have to. That's the business you're in. So we're not breaking news there. But I think it's just one of those things where that's where the starting point would be down at in Paul Brown Stadium.
Yeah,
for A.J. McCarron. Starting point, my opinion.
I agree. Because here's the thing, and people will say, "Well, McCarron, he wasn't even that good, and he only played however many games." And what do you mean? You can't if you can get anything for that, you need to flip that. He was a 5th-round pick. Yep, he was. You see what Brock Osweiler just got? You see what?
Right.
You see how many teams are in desperate need of any quarterback?
Right.
And you see how many teams are drowning in salary cap debt because they're overpaying whoever their quarterback is, the going rate. So let me tell you this. A.J. McCarron has 3 years left on his – 2 years on his rookie deal, and then after that, he would get a restricted free agent. The top tender would be around $4 or $5 million, whatever the cap ends up being. I mean, it would be peanuts compared to what Brock Osweiler just got. Is A.J. McCarron that much different than Brock Osweiler and what you've seen? I don't know.
Real quick, because, Paul, you're like, this is an honor to you because you love your numbers.
I do love my numbers.
All right, real quick. So, A.J. McCarron, 66% completion percentage. Brock, 61. Brock, interception percentage of 2.2. 10 TDs to 6 picks. McCarron, 6 touchdowns, 2 picks. Both of which came like in his very first game, you know. Yards per attempt, McCarron 7.4, Osweiler 6.9. Osweiler played in 8 games, started 7. McCarron played in 7, started 3. This is not including postseason for AJ. Rating of 97.1, a rating of 86.4 for Brock. I mean, when you want to break it down in terms of age, about the same. Obviously, Osweiler is taller, but like actual production, and to me, they are comparable because Denver's defense did the work in the end. They had a tight end to throw to. They have a number one making $75 million to throw to. They have a number two receiver making over $8 million in Emmanuel. Like offensively.
They have
running backs who kind of underachieve, but are pretty good anyway. You know what I mean? Like,
they had it.
Right.
They had the same thing. Now, and A.J. McCarron led what probably should have been the defining moment of the last quarter century for this franchise. I mean, he was the one in the fourth quarter making those throws. He had what would have been the most memorable throw in the history of Paul Brown Stadium.
Right.
When he led them back. He led them to wins, and you had the one in Denver where, I mean, he had the two best drives against the Denver Broncos all year.
Right.
So I'm just saying it's not that big of a difference. So take that, and then consider you could get him at a fraction of your total salary cap.
You just have to be willing to give up.
There's another draft picks. You have to be able to give that. Right. There is crazy value in that for a team. You can throw tons. You can be the Giants and throw $200 million at your defense if you don't have to pay a quarterback $20 million.
Right. Russell, that's a Seattle model.
Russell Wilson.
Right.
Russell, look at all the guys that just left from Sit. Bruce Irvin, gone.
Right.
Two defensive tackles, gone. Because they had to pay Russell Wilson.
Right.
So you can do that. That's, and a lot of people say that that's the way that you with the new set, with the cap the way it is now, with everything, the CBA, everything the way it is, that's the way you should do it now, is try to keep recycling young quarterbacks that are cheap and build the defense. I mean, you could argue that Denver just won a Super Bowl doing it that way.
Right.
So there's incredible value in that for a team. So if you are the Bengals, how do you not just sit back and say, hey, if you don't have a one to give us, don't pick up the phone.
Right.
And you know my number. I'm not out there.
Yeah, they are not shopping him.
No, they're not shopping him, nor should they.
No.
They should sit there and say, we got this guy. If you want to give up a one, we can talk. But if you don't even pick up the phone.
Right.
Because there's value in holding on to him. Well,
exactly, because that's the thing, Paul, is too, because I know that there's a – first of all, almost a year from now, almost 1 year anniversary for me with you on this beat, we started this saying, what about Andy Dalton? What is he? How quickly things change.
Yeah.
You know, so now it's like, oh, Andy Dalton, so we can get rid of the backup. Well, look, the Bengals clearly, all this previous BBP content here with these free agents, clearly think they're still a Super Bowl contending team, but they also lost their quarterback last year, and there's real value when you feel you are that close, if you think your backup
can win
and continue the path, or maybe even get you up into the Super Bowl, you know, if craziness doesn't happen at the end of the game. So for the Bengals, that's the other part of it for people who are just like, we can draft anybody, or we can trot out Jason Campbell again. Like, no, because they still feel that there's real value in it, and that's why it's not just trade them.
Yeah. And here's the other side of that to me. And you just mentioned it. Last year this time, we're wondering if Andy Dalton's even going to be around. If he's going to take that next step. Right. Or if he's going to regress. Maybe they would be giving McCarron a shot right now. Okay. I kind of want to see another year of Andy Dalton doing what he did last year before I ditch a guy who...
Again, under control for three more years.
Under control, who could be the answer if things go south. What did we talk about? Hugh Jackson.
Right.
Man, Hugh! You did it, man.
Yeah.
You really turned Dalton around. Hugh's gone.
Yeah.
Oh, the weapons. Sanu, Jones, Eifert, Green. Oh, those guys are gone. It's so much more on 14 now. So,
and Marvin Lewis even said that.
Yes.
He's like, it's Ken Zampezi was promoted for Andy, but Marvin Lewis at the combine, it's Andy's offense.
He's the interpreter, he called him, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, he's basically coordinator, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's his offense. He's the guy that's got to be the – I mean, Kenny's running it, but Dalton's the one that's doing a lot of decision-making and teaching everybody how to do everything and making it all happen. He proved great at that. But I need to see that again.
Right.
I need to see that when he has more on his plate. I need to see that when he doesn't have Marvin Jones and Mohamed Sanu. And I want to see it be just like it was last year. Because guess what? If he takes a step back and he's the guy he was before that, you're going to be pretty happy you still have A.J. McCarron around so you can maybe make a call on that going forward. How quickly did Colin Kaepernick go in the tank after years working with Jim Harbaugh?
Right.
I mean, now he's toxic.
Right.
He can't be saved, right? He took a team to a Super Bowl, and he was red hot during it.
Right.
So why can't – you're going to tell me there's not even a chance that could happen with Andy Dalton? I want to see one more year. And then guess how much more valuable A.J. McCarron is next year? Guess what? People are still going to need quarterbacks.
Yeah, the value doesn't –
go down.
I'm sure you heard this too. It's like, oh, you got to do it now. No. Because let's say if Andy Dalton plays 16 games, has an MVP caliber season, and the Bengals do whatever it is that they do, obviously you have your – the last film on A.J. McCarron is that playoff game.
Yes.
His value could only fluctuate good or bad after this point. If he doesn't take another regular season snap, because let's be honest, Paul, he'll look great in the preseason again.
Sure.
So he'll look great. He'll show that he can throw.
He might play a game.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll play after play a game or two.
Yeah, he'll play. You know, he was kind of doing some mop-up duty, you know, when the Bengals offense was rolling. He'll do that again. And again, he won't look bad in those situations. So the value will only stay the same if he doesn't play or only plays a little bit, and might only ever increase if other injuries happen or other guys tank or whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah. So the Bengals are in such a position of strength that they could never have imagined when they took him with a bad shoulder 2 years ago.
All that said, I would deal him next year. And we'll
I think
see.
That's
assuming
fair, yes.
We see Dalton, if Dalton plays similar level to what he did this year with losing weapons and having to take ownership of the offense and no Hugh, if I see that, I'm definitely dealing AJ McCarron next year. And then
you do it again. You draft another guy in the fourth, fifth round, and you
That's only fair to AJ McCarron, who deserves a shot. If he's, to make some make some money, and he's got value for you, and I think that in the Bengals, you gotta roll your eyes a little bit at that, but I think the Bengals care about that stuff.
Yeah,
I do think they care about giving him a shot to play if he wants one, if there's value in it to him. I'm not saying that they would take anything less than the top of the line, but I'm saying I think that's also that does play slightly into the equation for them. I'm heated.
You're heated.
This got me hot. I find it so interesting, and it is a fun conversation to talk about.
Yeah.
When you see what is happening with quarterbacks across, and what people are grasping for straws at, and then you just saw a guy who just played in the playoffs and struggled for three quarters, but had a fourth quarter where he did a lot
when it mattered. Because honestly,
he looked like the guy from Alabama.
Yeah,
exactly. Who knows how to win
games. That's the thing. He wins games. And when it was crunch time in that playoff game, the throws were made, the plays were made. I think clearly there were some jitters there early. And again, that's what matters, right? It's film.
And
he's got it now.
He's a leader, man. Right. And he did as good. He did far and away what I ever expected someone to do.
Right.
Had to take over in that situation. Marvin Lewis, after the season was effusive in praise of just not just the way he played, but the way he handled the whole situation and handled the loss. There was no throwing anybody under the bus. It was trying to gather everybody back together. We can't point fingers. Let's all do this. A lot of things that we haven't exactly seen 14 do after his playoff losses. And I think people notice that.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to the AJ McCarron situation, and I just think there's a lot more value in him than people want to get credit for. People just say, if you can get a three. No. And we'll see if Denver trades for Kaepernick or whatever.
Right.
He might have already happened if you're listening to this now, but right now it hasn't happened. We'll see what that fetches.
Right.
What's the difference in a guy who's broken goods
to
a guy, McCarron, who's a guy on the rise maybe? All right, that got me hot. All right. Whew, I bet we better bail out before I pop a blood vessel.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else you wanted to hit on?
No. I do have a song suggestion.
You have a song suggestion?
It's kind of cliche. For this
it's
particular
kinda, oh,
BG,
cliche.
Yeah, cliche.
It's kind of Nick Lachey.
No,
because we're turning it off right now. The whole thing it would be like the end of Sopranos. We just go black.
Cliche.
It's kind of cliche,
but I think it works on several levels. One, it sort of represents the Bengals who re-signed, but also the fact that I think our previous podcast up to this point, I was in Alabama, you were at the Super Bowl, we were at Combine. I don't know. Did we do it at the Combine or we were at the Combine? I don't remember. Like basically, we are together in the pod room.
Bronson Arroyo together again.
Well, I wasn't gonna go with his version, but we got Peaches and Herb.
Oh,
reunited.
Yeah,
I don't know. Because there's some reunited going on down there.
You're right.
And I.
Yes.
Because the next couple pods might be remote again, depending on where we're at.
Yeah.
So
it feels so good.
It does.
Yeah, the Bengals are reuniting. We're reunited. I like it. You're going deep on me now.
Yeah.
I feel like at the beginning of this whole process, you were a little skeptical of this whole having to come up with a song. But now you've embraced it.
You've embraced
our way of doing things here.
Yeah.
Now I'm glad you have, because this is good. This is good. Yeah. So when we don't know when we'll be back together again, we'll keep doing the pods, of course.
Yeah.
I'm temporarily assisting with the Xavier beat as they hit the tournaments. I could be talking to you from Spokane, Washington.
Yeah.
Next time we do one of these, but we'll see exactly how that all plays out. But don't worry, we'll still have everything on Cincinnati.com. I hope you have the Bengals app. If you did, you saw the enjoyment that you can get out of it with lots of push alerts. is because this time of year, stuff, you never know when it's going to come, so we bring it to you. Make sure you pick that up. Keep checking the site. We'll plenty more the sporadic signings as we go forward from this point forward, but yeah. we're going to go full steam into the draft now.
Yeah.
So we'll have all that for you. First mock draft is coming up soon. I know people
you're
are
ready.
Excited. People
yeah.
are, I'm ready to
You're
I,
excited.
We need it. I am excited. We needed to get that out of the way.
Yeah.
And I got to figure out which receiver I'm going to give to in the first round. So spoiler alert right there. Anyway, let's bring in Peaches and Herb. Jim, great sitting with you in the same room doing this, and we'll talk to you again soon. So for the BBP, have a good one.
Reunited as we understood, as one perfect fit and should.